Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. This is episode number 175. My name is Brooke Taylor. And how about that? 175 shows. Thank you so much for supporting the program. So tremendously grateful to the listeners, to our Podbean patrons who keep the podcast plugged in with the lights on. And you too can be a Podbean patron if you aren't already. I have information linked up in our show notes. And this is a big time of year. There are only two other episodes left until the end of the season. And in true dramatic form, hopefully they will build on each other and they'll be can't miss episodes before the summer sabbatical for you. So we'll get into what you can expect in those two episodes at the end of the show. For now, though, raising heroic families. What does that mean? What is that exactly? Where does one start? In a world of fidget spinners, how can we embrace sensory deprivation and silence? These are just a few themes that we're going to touch on in my conversation today with special guest Chantal Howard. And we'll get into that right after a quick little glimpse into Brooke's house.
It's Brooke's house. It's Brooke's house.
All right, come on in. We're starting to open up the windows finally. The grass, the flowers are growing. And this is the month of Blessed Mother and a time that we honor all moms. So I love the May crownings. That's still a tradition, a devotion throughout the world. So beautiful. We just had ours, our parish over the weekend, to bring a bouquet of flowers to the Virgin Mother and honor her for her fiat, her divine yes. And so spring has sprung. That's always such a beautiful reminder in creation. But that also means things are growing up and flying away, like our children. Graduation just around the corner now. And oh man, here comes. It's just like on cue, pressing a button and the tears start to well up here. Less than a month away now from my oldest, my firstborn son, my big guy, Gabriel, graduating. And it is rough. One thing I've noticed about this process is when you're pregnant and around that ninth month, feeling that nesting kick in, this is happening all over again. It's just different. And so I've been cleaning out his room. I've been going through his things and also back through the years, going over old photos as we prepare for his graduation party and putting together the photo boards. And while I'm doing this during the days, I've been playing songs that have been taking me back, like playing a video on rewind over the years. And God gives us this beautiful cadence of life where we don't live in the past. We live today, sometimes minute by minute, breath by breath, and we look ahead. Only now and then do we actually look back. And I do think in this sort of case where you reminisce and rejoice, it is a blessing, but it's a grief too. I am sad. I am sad that my baby, it happens so fast. Reminiscing can be a sacramental. I'm receiving grace from this process, looking back and see the ways that I have grown as a mom and been stretched and pressed down to my knees, and see my son and the way that he's grown into such a beautiful young man. And what a gift that is. When you stop long enough, because we're always moving forward, but when you stop long enough to look back and to see that landscape, this life, So yeah, I've been crying and, you know, working in radio for so many years and different formats too, top 40 and country and Christian for the last 10 years. Annually, we would get calls. And so we would put a list together of the best graduation songs. And so I've been doing that. And these are what I've been playing. There's one, though, that's guaranteed slam dunk going to make you cry. Even the hardest of guys is going to break down, I think, when you break open these lyrics. And maybe you're familiar with it. It's the song by Mark Harris. It's called Find Your Wings. And without fail, it's always played around the graduation time of year. But I just pulled up the chorus because I keep playing this and I can't get through that chorus. We're going to try, though. I'm already thinking about something unpleasant in my mind so that I can read this without breaking down. It says, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. And then there's also songs like when I was graduating, it was Time of Your Life by Green Day. And oh, remember Friends, Michael W. Smith. And then also he sang Place in This World. So he sang that. I almost went into it. Oh, and do you remember Leanne Womack, I Hope You Dance? That's kind of what that Mark Harris song reminds me of a little bit. Brandon Heath, if you don't know that song called Wait and See, I think that's a really good one too. Wait and See by Brandon Heath. Oh, and there's this country song by Susie Boggess. It's called Letting Go. I played this when my son Gabriel was graduating kindergarten, thinking about someday he's going to graduate high school. Now here we are. So yeah, if you can, and I will link it up for you too in the show notes, the Susie Boggess song. It's super, the video is kind of cheesy, but the lyrics and the melody and the words behind it are just fantastic. So there you go. That's kind of what I've been doing in Brooke's house lately. A lot of tears, a lot of pride though, in rejoicing also in where we are today. So I'm with you, all the moms that are preparing for any sort of graduation. It is always emotional. I don't know how I'm going to continue to just keep doing this. And I admire the moms who have gone before me and have so graciously and gracefully done this, because I'm not feeling so graceful with my face stained with mascara tears, but it's all part of it. And also wondering, I would love your ideas. I was thinking about starting a Facebook community for Good Things Radio. We have a Facebook page right now, but that's different than like a group or a community where you can talk about things, because stuff like, what do you get? What's a great gift for confirmation or first communion or just this time of year, graduation? When Gabriel made his confirmation, Jim and I then really struggled to figure out what gift should we give, because we have already so many rosaries and Bibles and holy medals and books and religious items. Not that you can have too much, but we wanted it to be something unique and different. So then we decided to get him a really nice watch, and it was kind of a coming of age gift. And then on the back, we engraved, "Be not afraid." That was the phrase from Pope St. John Paul II. It was the theme of his pontificate. That was who he had chosen as his confirmation saint. And then with that, I wrote Gabe a letter with some of the history behind that phrase so he could better appreciate the significance that "be not afraid" is not just a call to action in life, but in evangelization and in faith. So trying now to think of what could be significant, and he's just going right into from graduation to basic training. So there's going to be this minimalistic mentality here. It's just going to be the bare necessities. So that's where we're at, praying about what gift. Maybe if you have any suggestions, drop some feedback. You can do that via email, feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And it could be for anything. Again, maybe it's first communion or kindergarten graduation. If you have any, we did an ice cream party for Gus last year. Any ideas that you might have, would love to hear from you. And speaking of our families, our guest today is all about that. And I think you're going to be pumped to be a parent after you hear what she has to say. Check it out. My conversation with Chantal Howard. Super excited to be joined by a special guest today, Chantal Howard, a wife and mother of five children, national speaker, author of The School of the Family and The Family Rule. She is an essential oil coach seeking to help families become healthy, holy, and free. I love that. She's also the creator of Aroma Rosary and the co-founder, along with her husband, Dr. Peter Howard, of the website and apostolate heroicfamilies.com. Chantalgood.com. Super excited to open my home to Chantal. Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you, Brooke. This is such a pleasure. Real treat. I feel like we've been orbiting each other for a long time and finally having a chance to connect.
Yes. And that Holy Spirit magnet,
exactly.
It worked out.
Yeah.
And it really was an unusual way, exciting way, because you are passing through, recently moved to Idaho on a bit of a road tour right now. So in Ohio. And why is that? What's going on?
Well, I am spending 4 months basically from February to May traveling, able to reach out and connect with many families for my work with essential oil coaching, as well as sharing the message of Aroma Rosary and connecting the dots for families, hopefully, between grace and wellness. That's really my initiative right now.
So. Well, you have so much to offer and what brought you into this and your story, but I want to at least begin by touching on the Aroma Rosary because I love this idea. And so give us a little taste, if you would, of how this works.
Absolutely. Well, the whole reality is we know that our culture is overstimulated, right? We have the fidget spinner, and I'm trying to re-engage the world with the context of the rosary and re-engage the family and helping to breathe new life into it. And one of my passions has been essential oils, and how is that accessible for Catholics without bumping into the new age? We want to give people a context for this love for their bodies that is getting manipulated into either Eastern spirituality or other types of things. So that's one angle, right? It's just wellness and this conversation for Catholics. And then at the same time, I grew up just richly blessed with the rosary as part of our culture. And so the two came together. I feel like it was very much our Blessed Mother just asking for this opportunity to enhance a sense of smell even as we pray. So the rosaries are handcrafted. They hold and diffuse the essential oils. And I've done a lot of work in understanding the significance and the backdrop of aroma within the context of our Catholic culture, something that's kind of been lost. When we look at the biblical roots of all of this, aroma and plants and aromatic have been part of prayer and worship forever. And so bringing that back into the domestic church and helping to focus our minds, right? They're very sedative. They're calming. We all know that we need help in that area. They're relieving of anxiety. So it's both a therapeutic tool as well as just a springboard into deeper spiritual significance. We can attach with greater meaning the meditations and the mystery of Christ's life and our Blessed Mother through aroma.
And
it's really beautiful.
A beautiful idea. Yeah. And just recently, having come back from the Holy Land, I had this renewed love of olives, the olive press, the significance of olive, the olive tree, and the oils that come from olives, and how God does make that for a purpose and a reason. And it was significant. You know, that's from, you know, the priests in the high temple in the oils to even scripture. And then I'm also thinking about the woman with the perfume,
right,
and the feet of Jesus. And so it sounds like this is designed to bring us into the aromas that you've chosen, into those meditations that we're praying. Is that right?
Exactly. If we think about the context of Christ's life, we think about it visually, we think about it through all these different senses. And one of those amazing ways of enhancing our meditation is, what were the aromas? Think of how that spikenard would have made Christ smell that entire week. This isn't something that would have dissipated in a few hours. This is an intense aroma. The aromas of myrrh when he was anointed, the significance of frankincense at his birth. I've spent a lot of time unpacking the feasts surrounding the public life of Christ and the citron and the beauty of citrus aroma. And it's just one more little way. I feel like it's an extension, if you will, of the theology of the body, not just our sexuality, but the entire nature of our being. The Lord wants to touch, and he wants to elevate it so that, I think it's St. Mechteld, who was tied to St. Gertrude. She was given the words of Christ that he said, pray to me through your five senses. Mm-hmm. They are the windows that you look out anticipating the arrival of the guest, which is me. He wants us to constantly be hungering for him, and the senses are the way that he designed us to experience that. So,
and in a time where everything is so synthetic and artificial, it is so needed.
Right.
It gets us back to the basics of that. I will link up the information in our show
Thank
notes.
You.
Just quickly, though, how can people find out more? Because we could easily devote
we
a whole
could.
Show to
yeah.
this.
Yeah, aromarosary.com is where the oils and the rosaries are unpacked. And then find us on Instagram. We're building our Instagram community, and as well as on Facebook, Aroma Rosary.
Tell us about your call to transforming families and our culture.
The family, as I have really experienced experienced it is a school of formation. It's the novitiate, if you will, to our heavenly encounter with Christ. And so whether it's as a child, a teenager, a wife, a grandparent, we're all being pressed by the family. And unfortunately, that's where the attack is, right? And we feel it. I feel it. I grew up in a very faithful family, full of heartache, though. I lost my father at 14, my little brother. We've been through challenges. I've had siblings fall away, siblings that are now back in communion with the church. There's no perfect path. But the family is that constant. And so how do we hold on to that? And how do we begin to create an environment in which the faith can be transmitted? We can't just press it in on each other, right? That's one thing I think as a mom, I grew up just being, you know, I'm going to just make my kids holy and they're going to be holy. And it's an invitation, right?
You know, it's funny because I was just having dinner with a girlfriend. I said, I wish when I was younger as a new mom, so optimistic and thinking, oh, I am just going to do this path, and I do A, they'll do B, and reading the books and wishing that there was a disclaimer that says you may do everything right, but it still may not turn out the way that you expect. And I think even though we, you know, are always evolving and we know we ourselves are a work in progress, it still comes as a surprise and a hurt when you deposit all that you have into your children. And sometimes that's rejected.
That's right.
At least for a time.
At least for a time. And I think that's the heart of it, is we have kind of maybe two extremes in our culture right now. We have families that don't even know how to be a family, that are broken and are wounded and don't have formation and are lacking direction. And they need those ideals handed to them. And they need that inspiration that comes from the wisdom of the church that says, this is what family life is. And then you have those that have adopted that, and they're trying and they're failing. And the reason they're failing is because we all fail, right? And so there's that sense of feeling defeated or broken, or even taking those ideals and treating them like weapons, that we're wounding each other with them. You know, we're going to pray the rosary, gosh darn it, come hell or high water, you know?
And you're going to like it.
And you better turn that cell phone off right this second, or we're not having cell phones at all. You know, we have these challenges that I think in very, very much two extremes. And hopefully through our ministry, we kind of unpack both the ideal, but then we really let people in on the real. The beauty of it is that when you really look at the stories and the narratives of all of our families, the Lord's at work in all of that.
Well, it exactly reminds me when you said that of a fruit that was born through a lot of hurt and wounds in our own family. And that was for us, what we learned is the amnesia prayer. Raising children has the set of challenges, personalities, and the kids would often bring up, well, you did this and you always do this. And whether it's names that they would call each other or habits that they would point out that were derogatory. And so what was born out of that was, let's do the amnesia prayer. And basically that is, Lord, help me not just forgive, but to forget. He has, our Lord, forgiven me 1,000 ways, mm-hmm. and so merciful with us. Why can't we not extend that same mercy to our siblings and our family? And so that's what we pray.
I love
is
that.
This holy amnesia.
Right.
Help us, Lord, forget. But I think that is something that we all need to be reminded of as we strive, we fall, we continue again. And like you said, we're not failing, we're striving.
Right.
Can you share some starting points for families that are struggling?
Yeah, and this isn't me preaching to you, it's me preaching to me, because we are one of those families. One of the foundational places we try to start is simply by remembering that every day is our new annunciation moment, right? Our feet hit the floor. Can we remember, or at least try, to just say, I consecrate my day? My husband and I try to come together and pray in Our Father, just one Our Father. And this comes from Father Nathan Cromley, who we both love. And he introduced this to us. He said, sometimes, especially married couples struggle to pray just as couples. And so come forehead to forehead and just pray in Our Father.
There's a listener nodding, I know, right now, in particular, Lisa Daly, who lives in Colorado, because that Our Father prayer that you referenced with Father Nathan saved her marriage.
Wow.
And she shares that something so little. And that's what you're talking about, these little seeds,
mm-hmm.
not these grand gestures necessarily. Do small things with great love. I put that in my planner. And that's every day what I'm looking at. And I have to remember that. But you have such a rich and deep wealth of faith and knowledge. You have a Byzantine Eastern Rite influence, mm-hmm. being baptized in the Byzantine Rite, and then also practicing as a Roman Catholic. And so for you, this penitential season of Lent, how do you and your family approach it? I'm curious how that looks in your home.
Well, my husband's really the spearheader. He launches us with a family meeting. And this year, he even wrote out a little form. It was kind of cute. It was basically like, these are the family Lenten goals. Now, what are your personal Lenten goals? And again, we don't want to do something that's going to strangle our kids.
So, how old are your kids?
Yeah. So I have 15, 13, 11, 8, and 3.
So you have teenagers down to toddlers.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're in the midst, the whole gamut. We also try to make a point to really make a hard, fast stop at night, so that there's a period of time where we're not on our devices. Mm. And then spiritually, we try to commit to our family rosary, recommit. Let's pull out the meditations again. Let's look at some artwork. Let's make it as real as possible. And I will say, the one last thing that I think is just so powerful around the family rosary is let the kids tell the story. They know that it was, the fourth sorrowful mystery, Jesus carrying his cross. Okay, he, especially after stations, right? He gets his cross, and then they'll tell us while we're saying the Hail Marys, he fell down, and then he saw Blessed Mother, and there was Veronica, and it's cute to see them just engage in telling the story, and that's what we want. We want the family to be the place where memories are built that they're going to come back to, that they remember the rosary without, some sense of major obligation or dry spiritual practice. They see it as a place of living, mm-hmm. beautiful faith. And it's not always that way, right? Half the time we have to buckle up and say, all right, you guys, stop bickering.
I'm glad you said that, because I do think that as you are describing this, I'm hearing in your family, I'm seeing the scene where there's like harps being played
dim music and there's aromatherapy mist in the air. I'm thinking, I know that's not my family, but we do try.
Yeah. And there are moments, you get those little moments where you're like, wow, don't bust the bubble. Like it's working right now.
It cool.
Right. Just seize this, where's my Instagram account? I want to take a picture right now, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So how can we help each other that as you witness different things, the Lord gives you different wisdom along the way?
I think that we need to return to that simple model of just friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor. And that's what I do. I go into homes and I connect with people one-on-one oftentimes. So letting each other in to that heartache. Of course, we don't air our dirty laundry for the whole world to see, but at the same time, there's something so consoling about knowing that we're in this journey together.
I think that's good. And to share our story, I think that's where the enemy gets us, is he convinces us that we are all alone.
Right.
And we all carry crosses.
Our physicality is a major part of this too. And I think that this is one of my biggest missions, is to help pull back the curtain and say the church cares about you in your physical struggle. You do need to be thoughtful about what fuel are you putting in your body? Remember that grace builds on nature. Start with your daily habits that pertain to your physicality. Do the best you can to care in that space. We can fuel ourselves forward. And sometimes just by addressing that self-care in a true, authentic sense, then we have a little bit more in turn to give. So it's a big conversation, and I know we don't have time for it all, but
I know, and
we
have to wrap up, and boy, is that just a meaty topic, because really those are the moments you're really vulnerable too.
Right.
So you're vulnerable to be pushed in one direction or another that might not be where the Lord is. As we wrap up, I want to ask you one more thing, because you have multiple books, obviously your ministry, your heart to reach those and set them free, which is what I love. The Family Rule, you are the author of that book, and there you offer 17 practical ideas and suggestions. I love the Family Rule, pulling from the monastic idea of this cadence of the day. And bringing that to the family. Can you share just a few of those suggestions for us as we talk about order and that bringing energy and new life to us? Mm-hmm. It all works together.
It does. So some ideas.
It does. Sure. So the rule that I wrote was a beautiful inspiration from my time discerning religious life. And I went through the teachings of the church and basically said, what of the popes? What are the teachings of the church that pertain specifically to family life? And in there, one of the biggest treasures you'll uncover is, of course, the rosary. So going back to that, I know that for many that's a hard place, but I invite you just to begin to think about, can we incorporate one decade? Can we enrich that one way? So that's very practical. It's easy to do, simple, and oftentimes just a way that you can begin to incorporate that rhythm into your life.
I think maybe it was you, because Father Nathan said he knew someone where their family, they did a decade before dessert.
Yep.
So they did a decade of the rosary after dinner before they had dessert. And if you're like, I mean, I don't know what it is. If it's all families, you don't know if your family's weird or if it's everybody.
Right.
Because my husband was in the Army and he just learned in boot camp to eat really quickly.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't realize, but I like started pacing him. And then we had kids, we had boys, and we eat so fast. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be very orderly and mannered and slow and take our time. But I liked that because it offers, at least between the dinner and dessert, a break
right.
to stop, to pray. And there used to be an after dinner prayer also.
Absolutely.
So I really like that. But yeah, that just a decade doesn't take that long.
No, 2.5 minutes. We can do
you
that,
know it.
Right? And I think that's exactly it. Find where it fits. Sometimes we'll do a couple in the morning on our way to Mass or to school when you're dropping your kids off. Make it a habit to pray a decade of the rosary and then maybe break it up. I love that the rosary, again, is this lifestyle concept. It doesn't have to just be all scrunched into one short time. And so let it have life. And remember, you are the leaders of your domestic church. So creativity is an important and very, very valid place for you to bring some interpretation without feeling like you're flying off the handle into some sort of unorthodox idea. Open up let the Holy Spirit breathe there. Another practical tip that we have tried to introduce, especially during summer months when we have all the kids at home or in the homeschool environment, is what we call blanket time. And that's good for the little kids, but it's also good for the big kids. And it's just a little window of time where we just shut down and say it's silent time. Another really practical tip, and this comes from my childhood, is we'll call it a Jesus prayer moment. Take 3 minutes of silence. I mean, that's hard. Three full minutes of silence is like, oh my goodness. But that, again, kind of reminiscent of the practices in the religious life where they will take those times of just,
and focus, breathe in, breathe out, focus on that.
And we teach them the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I'll never forget from my childhood how much that anchored my prayer life. And to this day, when I'm in a panic, it's what comes back first. So, just really doing your best in small moments throughout the day to find small practices that you can just kind of say, this is going to be our tradition, our habit. And it'll go through seasons. It'll change. The rule of the family or the rule of life that I built is not to be something that you hurt each other with or say, you're not good enough or we're not holy enough. Take it out every now and then and find one little section that you can say, oh, let's focus in here. Let's try this. Let's implement this element of spirituality into our family. And there's a wealth there, but the reality is the domestic church is supposed to be this milieu of gentleness and tenderness. And when we fall short from that, we get to come back and we get to show our kids that we love them by saying, I'm sorry. So we call it just an examination of conscience or a family conclave. Like, let's come together. Once a month, we do this and we say, all right, who wants to start? And usually it's the little kids. They're like, I'm sorry for being mean or not picking up my toys. And then it's mama and papa who finally crack and say, you know what? We've been too hard on you, or the way we spoke to each other in front of you. And it just gives us a chance to unburden. And I can't tell you how many times that reset has literally saved our family. So to not be afraid to dive in and pull back the junk and let people, breathe with mercy is so important.
And as you said in the opening of our conversation, the family is the novitiate, you know, and that's all part of it, where we have mercy on one another. We also see justice played out and mm-hmm. grace and forgiveness and all of these things that we are blessed to be bound by God calling us to be a family Amen. In whatever way that looks like. So what an adventure. What a privilege. That's a
Thank
gift.
You.
And I'm wondering, with the blanket time, would that be permissible to have the Oscar pants?
Yes. You okay. go back to those. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And for the little kids, honestly, my toddlers, the blanket literally started with, you can't leave the blanket. Just sit on it.
Oh.
And here's some toys or here's a book.
That's like, their perimeter.
Dip, that's it. Okay. Blanket time.
So. Okay. I may have to give those pants up for Lent because I guess I'm a little bit too attached. Thank you so much.
What
Thank
a
you
joy.
For making time. How can we find out more and learn more about not only the Aroma Rosary, but all that you do and offer?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, you can find us at aromarosary.com and heroicfamilies.com. You'll see a lot about what my husband is offering as a theologian and Mariologist there and some of the speaking he's doing.
His focus on Fulton Sheen.
Amen.
Right?
It's so exciting. I think his cause is finally catching wind. We're hoping soon. So, and follow us on social media, even though I don't necessarily want to encourage everybody back to that, but if we can use it wisely and help connect the dots, and I look forward to hearing from individuals. It's my pleasure to connect personally. So aromarosary.com is a great place to start.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you
bless
so much.
You. Isn't she great? Thank you again so much to my guest on today's show, Chantal Howard. And as promised, the next two shows coming up, I want to give you a little preview as to what you can expect. So next week, sitting down with the sisters from the Franciscans TOR, two nuns. This is an order near Franciscan Steubenville, and they are going to be running the Cleveland Marathon. So they have an entire series talking about faith and life, running and religion. And I know I've gone heavy on the running stuff lately, but look, I told you I'm running this first marathon, but I do think it's for everybody. Again, that phrase, a marathon is a metaphor for life. And I think also when it comes to our faith, these ladies are so fantastic. I cannot wait for you to hear this interview. That's coming up next week. And then that will be leading up to the race. So of course, I'm going to be running in the Cleveland Marathon, God willing, as well as the sisters. And so the following week, the last episode of the season is going to be a recap of that race, as well as Gabe's graduation, and any feedback that you might have when it comes to gifts, even prayers or party ideas. Would love to share that. So send that in. Again, you can do that via Voxer. Find me at Brooke Taylor and the number one. You can leave some audio feedback that way or email, and that's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. God bless you, friends, and a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So for any audio or video needs you may have, check him out at cominghomestudio.com. As the proverb says, teach us to number our days that we may grow in wisdom. From the tallest to the smallest, God bless you. Until next time, friends, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.